Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In the most recent film, 2002, actually, it began its showing on the Mount of the Count of Monte Cristo. The hero, Edmund, has been unjustly imprisoned in the dismal island prison named Chateau d'If. My son, actually, on his tour around the world when he was recently on the aircraft carrier, actually they went into the harbor where that island is. It's an actual place, and there is a prison on that island. Well, when Edmund enters his cell for the first time, escorted by the prison warden, Edmund sees a hand-gouged inscription on the cell: "God will give me justice." The warden mockingly explains that prisoners of Chateau d'If often try to keep their spirits up with graffiti, such as calendars, but eventually they lose hope, and all the warden is left with is an unsightly wall. He then tells Edmund that he has developed a new way to help prisoners mark their time. They get a beating every year on the anniversary of their imprisonments. And he likes to offer something special on the first day of a man's sentence. In his words, a beating you'll remember your entire stay. And as he's being lifted off the floor by chains on his wrists, readied for something special, Edmund says, "God is everywhere. He sees everything." And the warden responds by offering Edmund a bargain. "You ask God for help, and I'll stop the moment he shows up." Now, you and I both know that Edmund is right. God sees everything, and he will help. One day, we will experience God's perfect solution for all of our troubles. But so often, as with Edmund, God seems distant, maybe even silent. Sometimes when his people need him the most. Sometimes it seems it gets worse before it gets better. I don't know, have you ever felt like that? Has life ever made you wonder what God is up to? In a Peanuts comic strip, Lucy and Charlie Brown are talking, and Lucy says that life is like a deck chair. Some place it so they can see where they're going. Some place it where they can see where they've been, and some place it so they can see where they currently are. And Charlie Brown replies, "I can't even get mine unfolded." Life seems that way sometimes. That was the problem that the prophet Habakkuk was facing. Things were happening around him that simply didn't square with how he believed life ought to be. The powerful people in Judah were abusing their power. They oppressed the poor and the widows and the orphans. They used these poor people for their own ends and then discarded them. And justice certainly wasn't determined by what was true and right. Rather, the judge ruled in your favor if you had the right connections and if you gave money to the right people. All of this was happening, and God seemed silent. Habakkuk's cry, "How long, O Lord," is certainly the cry today. He lived over 2,500 years ago. But as you read his complaint and his concerns, you can't help but say the more things change, the more they remain the same. Or as Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. How long, O Lord, how long will you allow injustice to continue on earth? How long will you turn a blind eye to the unfair pain and suffering that's endured by so many? How many more people will starve in countries ruled by people who use poverty as a means of controlling the population? How many more people will be abused and murdered simply because they're of the wrong ethnic background or religious faith? How long, O Lord, will those who cheat and lie prosper, while those who do right suffer at their hands? How long, O Lord? One person wrote, "It's a gloomy moment in the moment. It's a gloomy moment in the history of our country. Not in the lifetime of most men has there been so much grave and deep apprehension. Never has the future seemed so incalculable as at this time. The domestic economic situation is in chaos. Our dollar is weak throughout the world. Prices are so high as to be utterly impossible. The political cauldron seethes and bubbles with uncertainty. It's a solemn moment of our troubles. No man can see the end." Sounds like it was something that comes out of Venezuela today. But these words were written in Harper's Weekly in October of 1857. How long? How long will this go on? Well, God has an answer to that question. The same answer that he gave Habakkuk. "And the Lord answered me, the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. But the righteous shall live by his faith." The righteous will live by his faith. God didn't tell Habakkuk when things would be made right, but he did promise that there was a time when all things would be made right. And the Lord called Habakkuk to live by his faith, faith which trusts in the promises of a faithful God. And that's the same message that you and I are given. When we cry out, "How long, O Lord," he tells us that a day is coming when all injustice, brutality, the iniquity of this world will be dealt with. A day is coming when everyone will answer to him for their deeds. Now, the fact that many don't believe this doesn't make it any less true. Martin Luther, in his explanation to the first commandment in the Large Catechism, put it this way: "The trouble is that the world doesn't believe this at all and doesn't recognize it as God's word. For the world sees that those who trust God and not mammon suffer grief and want and are opposed by the devil. They have neither money, prestige, nor honor, and can scarcely even keep alive. Meanwhile, those who serve mammon have power, prestige, wealth, and every comfort in the eyes of the world. Accordingly, we must grasp these words, even in the face of this apparent contradiction, and learn that they neither lie nor deceive, but will yet prove to be true." God's word, God's promises, will yet prove to be true. And we, as the people of God, are called to walk by faith, not by what we see around us. Wait for the Lord, and he will yet bring it to pass. But in our day of instant gratification, the call to wait for anything is a hard pill to swallow. A doctor once said that a young woman seriously asked him, "Doctor, I really don't have 9 months to wait for this baby to come. Is there any way to fit a pregnancy into 6 months?" No. Some things take time. Hope always involves waiting. It's like standing in the line for an event, like being put on hold, like the last month of pregnancy. In 1953, Samuel Beckett wrote the play Waiting for Godot. It was said to epitomize the philosophy of hopelessness felt in the new nuclear age. In this play, the main characters are waiting. They're waiting for Godot, a figure who, when he appears, will make things right. As the play ends, the people are still waiting. And the message seems to be that waiting on something other than yourself is pointless. You only have you. Neither Godot nor God is coming. But by faith, we know differently. We know God is coming someday. And until he comes, we are called to wait by faith, trusting God at his word. And in that waiting, we learn dependence, we grow, we're shaped by God. And most important, in that waiting, our faith is strengthened, and we learn that our hope is anchored in what God has done in the past and what he promises to do in the future. See, God has done this before. Sometime shortly after the creation of Adam and Eve, they fell into sin. But rather than deserting them, God gave them a promise. He would send one who would come and crush the head and power of the serpent who tempted them to turn from God. And many, many, many years passed before God fulfilled that promise in the sending of his own son who would die the death our sin deserved. St. Paul writes to the Galatians in light of this, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." Paul says that in dying for us, he paid the ransom our sins deserved, redeemed us from our sin, death, and the devil. And in doing this, he restores us. He restores us and adopts us as his dear children. In his book, Heaven, God's Highest Hope, Max Lucado describes where we are in this in-between time. He says, "We aren't home yet. We're orphans at the gate of the orphanage, awaiting our new parents. They aren't here yet, but we know they're coming. They wrote us a letter. We haven't seen them yet, but we know what they look like. They sent us a picture. We're not acquainted with our new house yet, but we have a hunch about it. It's grand. They sent a description. So what do? Here at the gate where the now already meets the path of the not yet, what do? We groan. We long for the call to come home. But until he comes, we wait. We stand on the porch of the orphanage and wait. And how do we wait? With patient eagerness." That's where we stand this morning. We stand watching and waiting. And sometimes those around us will taunt us and try to tell us no one's really coming. But you must not listen to them. Sometimes we become so eager for what's to come, we demand from this world what only the next can give. See, we want this place right now to be a place of no sickness, no suffering, no struggle, no injustice. And sometimes we even get angry, shake our fists, forgetting that only in heaven will we find the peace that we want. Eugene Peterson, in his old but still excellent book, The Psalms of Ascent, wrote, "Hoping is not dreaming. It's not spinning an illusion of fantasy to protect us from our boredom or our pain. Hope means a confident, alert expectation that God will do what he said he will do. It's imagination put in the harness of faith. It's a willingness to let him do it in his way and in his time." That kind of hoping is not easy. That kind of faith is not easy. We're still people, weak, limited, and so we don't see things the way they really are, the way God sees them. But God gives us the assurance and he still has all things in his hands. And when we cry out, "How long, O Lord," we're called to remember the promise that God has given to us through the prophet. The vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Amen.